I'm Aaron Pednotti, and today I'm interviewing Dee Dee Hallock about a First Amendment legal case that she is pursuing against a public access television provider named Manhattan Neighborhood Network at the United States Supreme Court. Last week, I interviewed Dee Dee's co-plaintiff, the New Yorkian poet Jesus Papalito Melendez, who goes by Papo. During that interview, Papo informed us that the transcripts of the justices' deliberation on the case were going to be made public on Friday, March 8th, which is the day on which this interview is being recorded. So today we're checking in with Dee Dee to see what she learned from the transcripts. Dee Dee, thanks for joining us. It's good to have you as a guest on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Well, it's great that you guys have your radio station up there. That's what we're for, more communication, more community voices on the air. So I'm really glad to be on the Sanctuary's radio station.
Thanks very much, and we're glad to have you here as well. So I know it's still at an early point, but what have you learned from the transcripts thus far about the justices' deliberations?
Yeah, well, we Papaletto and I went to Washington, and it was very exciting to be and to see, really, in a funny way, how informal it was. The preceding is very formal. You have to stand when the judges appear, and there's lots of searches and checkpoints before you go in. But once the judges came in and started asking questions, it was very interesting because it wasn't as formal and uptight as everything else was. You asked me about the transcripts. More interesting is the actual audio. You can get the audio. It's already up on the SCOTUS blog. They did record it, and it's available. And you can hear that some of the judges already have some predetermined opinions, like I think Kavanaugh's pretty against us. Clarence Thomas didn't even say one word, but he is on record as being against all of public access. In the Denver area case, he was very adamant that the channels and all of the money should go to the cable company. It belongs to them, that the cable is a private company, and he's very much in favor of private property, etc. But there were some of the judges that you could hear, they really don't know that much about it, and they're thinking about it. So we're hoping that they think and realize how important it is to have a public forum and how important public access has been around the country. There's wonderful things going on. Philadelphia has a terrific Philly cam, and they're very popular in Philadelphia and up and down the West Coast. There's very good public access in Oregon and Washington State, and around the country, there's some very great things happen with public access, and it'd be terrible. What I'm worried about is that what they call amicus briefs, which are the people who support you for your case. We have the American Civil Liberties Union and the National Campaign Against Censorship and the Alliance for Community Media and quite a few really great organizations standing up for us. They have three organizations that are completely owned and run by the Koch brothers, the Cato Institute, a thing called Atlantic Legal Foundation, and the Pacific Legal Foundation. Those are organizations that are used by the Koch brothers to attack gays and lesbians. There were lawyers for them that were part of that suit about a baker who refused to make a wedding cake for a gay couple. And their legal fees were paid for by these very right-wing organizations. Now, that is who is supporting Manhattan Neighborhood Network. Why? I think that they're trying to get rid of public access. Their larger plan is to keep on burning coal and oil and making money, and they want to make sure that there's no objections to it that might come out on community media.
Well, given those stakes, can you give us a sense of what you think the precedent-setting implications of this case will be, particularly in relation to public access media production?
I think that public access community across the country is really threatened by some of the statements that have come out in this, and that is that if they're a private entity, why are they needed? And why are the Koch brothers and the National Cable Television Association, the industry lobbying group, wrote an amicus brief for MNN? So they don't have any of the people speaking up for community media. They're basically getting their support from people who, from the beginning, have been against public access. The cable companies don't want to have to give the 5% of their profits and the channels, etc. So that it could be the end of public access.
So it sounds like what you're saying here is that the right-wing attempt to assault public access and just take it down altogether is exploiting an ambiguity between the status of public access as a private or a public institution and the legal defense that the Manhattan Neighborhood Network is mounting is actually serving that type of legal strategy.
Absolutely. I mean, it's weird. It's like with his $11 million budget, he's going to end up eliminating that kind of public good across the country and his own, too. I guess somebody said, well, he'll get a good job with the cable company afterwards. So who knows? But it has implications far beyond that, because it has implications about private organizations. Because if the private corporation does not have to adhere to the First Amendment, that means that charter schools basically are exempt from any kind of obligations in terms of the Constitution. Private prisons. I mean, one of the people who fought for us are it's the National Lawyers Guild Prison Advocacy Group, and they are worried because they say that prisoners in private jails will not have First Amendment rights if this goes through, because the implications are that public organizations are not accountable to any of the human rights and rights of communication.
So any organization that occupies this public-private gray area would be able to exploit this?
Yes, and as more and more schools become privatized, as more and more parks become privatized, it means that there's a whole sector of our society that is out of bounds in terms of the kinds of rights that are listed in the Constitution and the First Amendment.
Well, those are very serious stakes indeed. We're out of time, so we'll have to cut it short there. But thanks again for this interview, Dee Dee, and best of luck moving forward with your case.
Yep. All right. Thank you.